Praise the Lord, everyone. Man, God is just so good. So amazing. Just as you were just taking that communion, it just hit me yet again. The power of the cross and the power that was released when those lashes were laid into his back, and that the power of sin that was broken when he died upon that cross, or should I say more accurately, when he rose from the grave. It just really hit me there when I was sitting on the keyboard and just was overwhelmed with gratitude just for God's love and for his mercy. My God, what a wonderful God we serve today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 7. Praise God. I was up a bit late last night. I was helping an individual who was suffering from some demonic oppression. And we had to call the youth in and pastor in. We had to really pray because the enemy really had a hold on this particular individual. And I had a dialogue with the evil spirit that was controlling her. And I told it that the blood of Jesus has defeated you. The blood of Jesus has defeated you. And it kept saying, stop talking, stop saying that. I said, all the more, the blood of Jesus has defeated you. We have overcome the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And I kept just speaking the word and saying, the blood of Jesus has defeated you, and that you have no power. And that as a son of the living God, that you have to leave her now. And it took a few hours. And I could tell it was weakening because it kept telling me to shut up. And I was like, oh no, I'm not shutting up. And I just kept speaking the word. And then I just reminded this thing of the God that we serve. And it was a struggle at first, but we got this individual to start thanking the Lord and confessing Christ as Lord. And she was delivered last night. Praise God. The enemy is busy, and it doesn't surprise me that we are seeing manifestations of his power against the church. We are coming to the end, and the devil knows that he only has a short time left. So don't be surprised if the devil causes the ceiling to collapse, or if we see strange manifestations and strange occurrences beginning to happen. He knows that his time is short, and all the more we should be encouraged and motivated in this end time harvest to stand firm on God's word. We are nearing the end, and we're about to see a release of God's power like we have never seen before. If you have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, say amen. Ephesians 2, verse 4 simply says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I want to read verse 6 again. From there I'll be primarily taking my thought. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to preach a message simply entitled, Take Your Seat. Take your seat. And we're going to pray, and I believe that as we pray that we're going to see the manifestation of the power of the living God. I don't want to come to you, as the scripture says, with enticing words or man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We don't need another show. We don't need another gospel superstar. What the church is in dire need of is the power of God. The power to set people free. The power to change people's lives and for people to be delivered. And today, by the help of the Holy Ghost, the power of God is going to show up in this place today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just recognize your greatness. We recognize that you are God and that there is no one else like you. God, even at the realization of your position in the universe as God Almighty, you sitteth upon the circle of the earth. God, the heavens are your throne, and the earth is your footstool. God, the heavens declare your glory, and the firmament showeth your handiwork. The omnipotent, almighty God, to whom there is no limit, to whom there is no shadow of turning, there is no weakness. God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, the first and the last. God, the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world, worthy to receive all blessings, strength, and honor, power, and riches, and worship, and wisdom. The only sovereign and living God, we recognize you in this place today. We even align and position our hearts and our minds to receive of your power today. And in the name of Jesus, we even take the ground that the enemy is standing on, and we knock him over by the finger of God. We charge thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to vacate the premises. In the name of Jesus, we evict every spirit that's contrary to the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we take back dominion and authority over this city. We curse the spirit of drugs. We curse the spirit of sexual immorality. We curse the spirit of witchcraft. We curse the spirit of abuse, of anxiety attacks, and depression. We curse it in the name of Jesus. We sever your connection. We cut off your influence. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we adjure thee and command full release. We command their release, and we command your unconditional surrender. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare and decree it by the power of the living God, the manifestation of his glory and his word, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you right now for your peace and for your loving kindness. We thank you right now because your compassions fail not. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. We thank you even now because your grace is sufficient. Your strength is made perfect in weakness. We thank you now because your peace passes all understanding, and your joy is unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you now, and we bless your name with all that's within our being. We give you the praise and the glory, and in Jesus' name, somebody in here, say amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to take a moment just for a minute. The Spirit is moving, and I believe the Spirit has a prophetic word for us today. I want to take a moment. Sometimes we rush too soon and just trying to go on with the program, and God's wanted to do something. I want to just take a moment. If you just bear with me just a moment. Those of you that know how to pray in the Spirit, I offer you the opportunity now to do so. Ready your hearts and your minds. God is going to speak here and today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just ready your hearts and your minds. Just realize that he's God. Just realize that he's God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's the word right there. That's the word right there. Shh, hold up. Shh, stop. Told you the Lord had a word. Be still and know that I am God. And recognize that I am God. He's coming. He's coming. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. I'm seeing something in the body of Christ, a trend that is rising that is quite startling. But then again, it is also a marker of Christ's return. That there is an apostasy rising in the body of Christ in which people are neglecting the fundamental elements of what it is to be a believer. And that we are neglecting words like sanctification, words like holiness, words like abstinence, words like integrity. I'm seeing it in the church. That people are allowing secular methods and secular individuals to have power and authority to speak in the body of Christ. We need to sanctify our houses and ready ourselves for His return. The message that I have today is in line with that word, and that we as believers need to take our positions in the body of Christ. And as we take our positions, we are readying ourselves for His return. And that we are in a sense, we're even ushering in His return. For the scripture says that this gospel must be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. We need to ready ourselves for His return. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that word. Praise God. I want to talk to you about our position in Christ. If there is anything that the enemy has done, it is to confuse identity. And that we see it all the time, that people are, there's a whole argument over identity, even in the social discourse at this very moment, as to what is male and what is female. We can't even agree on what it is our fundamental makeups are anymore. There's this whole confusion regarding identity and what our place is in God. And the thing is that I've been studying the last few weeks is that the power of God and seeing all the gifts of the Spirit operating, which is our theme. And one of the things that I have realized is that we as the body of Christ need to recognize our position in Christ if we're going to see the manifestation of His glory and we're going to win people to Christ. That, you know, we're praying for people, we're ministering to people, and we're doing it out of our ability, we're doing it out of our flesh and so on, but we're not doing it out of the Spirit because we don't fully recognize who He is. There's a lack of reverence and respect for the power of God and for the Word of God, that people are turning in droves to secular methods in order to deal with their issues, and the church is becoming a laughingstock, and the body of Christ is being blasphemed by the heathen because that people are taking these positions. I want to talk to you very briefly, by the help of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost would have to do that if you know me, but I want to talk to you very briefly about our position. That in the 1960s, we had the rise of the civil rights movement. And it all started with one woman by the name of Rosa Parks, who decided that she was tired of being disenfranchised. She was tired of being treated like a second-class citizen and having to sit at the back of the bus just by virtue of the paint job that she had on her skin. And because she'd finally had enough, she sat in the front seat and she was supposed to give up her seat for a white passenger, and she refused to do so because she recognized that although to the contrary I've been told that I'm less than human, that I don't even have the mental capacity to even be defined as human, and I've been dehumanized, that I in fact am a human being who was created in the image of God and I deserve the same rights as any other individual. And because that one act of sitting down, not standing up, but sitting down and not moving from their place, it launched the civil rights movement and changed the face of the United States. On February 1st of 1960, four black students from the North Carolina Agricultural and Technical College Joseph McNeil, Franklin McCain, and David Richmond, and Ezell Blair Jr. sat down at the counter of a Woolworths and asked to be served. They knew that they wouldn't be because the lunch counter at which they sat was for whites only. And still they continued to sit and refused to get up until they were forced out when the store closed for the night. The next day, a much larger group of students showed up either to participate or witness the sit-in. And after newspapers and civil rights groups heard about the activity, sit-ins were held in several cities across the country. And these sit-ins were very simple in nature. A group of students would sit down at a lunch counter and ask to be served. If they were given food or coffee, they'd move on down to the next counter. Once they were refused service, they would remain seated until served. The key during the sit-ins was nonviolence. If participants were hit, they couldn't hit back. They would just stay and occupy their positions. And what we see here is the power of just taking your seat. That just by occupying the seat, and they did not allow anything to move them from the position where they were seated, they maintained a position of power. And through by sitting down, they were able to overthrow Jim Crow laws. They were able to overthrow racial injustice and change the dialogue regarding race and what the human race is defined as. Just by staying in a seat, taking a position that was supposed to be denied them, but however was rightfully theirs. And I feel impressed in the Spirit of God that we as the body of Christ need to take our seat. We need to stop letting everything get us out of the position that Christ has put us at. God has positioned you as a son of God, as being in his likeness and in his image, being just like Christ, to be operating in a place of authority and power and dominion. But what the enemy tries to do is that he attempts to antagonize us and with threats of violence or threats of circumstances and troubles and tribulations to get ourselves uneasy and get ourselves riled up, and we try to retaliate, and we move ourselves from a position of power into a position of weakness. The Bible even talks about this, about having a seat that we're supposed to sit in. The Bible talks about in Luke chapter 12, verse 37. It says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." The Bible says in Luke 13, 29, "And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." God has a place that he wants you to be seated at, that the enemy is doing his very best to unnerve you and to remove you from the place where God has positioned you. I'm not sure if any of you guys played this game as a kid, but when I was a kid, we used to play this game called King of the Hill. Anyone ever play that game before? King of the Hill, you know, we usually did this during the winter when the snow plows, they'd plow big, big hills of snow, and you would get on that hill and you'd try to maintain your position on that hill and everyone would try to throw you off. I want you to understand that the walk with God is just like King of the Hill, and the enemy is going to try everything he can. He's going to throw snowballs at you. He'll try and tackle you. He'll try and throw all sorts of crazy stuff. Even your friends might turn on you. Family members start acting crazy around you. People on your job start trying to come at you, and everything starts falling apart. Why? Because you're in a position of power. And the devil does not like it, and he's trying to get you out. Don't move. Don't move. Stay where you are. Be still and just know that I am God. Just recognize your authority and your position. Don't necessarily retaliate. Don't let the enemy unnerve you and get under your skin to make you feel like that you've got to fight back. But no, God is the one that fights my battles. That's why the Bible says, lift up your heads in Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. It's God who is my helper. It is God who is my defense. It is God who is my advocate and my intercessor and my mediator and my go-between. He is my fortress, and he is the one that is strong in battle. Do not let the enemy unsettle you. Do not let the enemy unnerve you. That when bills stack up on the table, that you are not moved by these things, because I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. Take your seat. Take your seat. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes that God wants to move you to another seat. Move you to a little bit closer. Move you to a place of position and power. And there's something that's there that's occupying your seat. Have you ever gotten on a plane and you look on the ticket and it says exactly where you're supposed to sit, and you go to that seat and someone's occupying your seat, and you have to say, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me, sir, but I think that's my seat. I paid the ticket for first class, and I paid the ticket for me to sit next to this window. I think you're occupying a space that rightfully belongs to me. And the fact of the matter is, devil, you've occupied a space that rightfully belongs to me. You've oppressed me with psychological torment. You've come at me with anxiety attacks, and you've come at me with sickness and disease, and you've come at me with all the weapons that you have and that you wield. But I want to tell you the truth, that the ticket, what I'm holding in my hand, called the Word of the Living God, since that's my seat, since that belongs to me, and you need to move your behind out of here. I don't know where you got to go, but you got to get out of here, because that's my seat, paid and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ purchased my ticket. Jesus Christ purchased my seat. And sure enough, am I going to stand here and let you occupy my seat? The devil is a lie. I'm taking what rightfully belongs to me. We sang it earlier that we're seated in heavenly places, just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth. Don't you understand that if you are born again, you are seated right next to Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You're sitting at a table with a person that's been crowned with many crowns, who is called the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. You are sitting with royalty. You're not some second-class citizen. You're not a doormat for someone to wipe their feet on, but you are a son of the living God. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar person. You are, hallelujah, special in God's eyes, blessed and beloved and cherished, a diamond in his sight. And you just need to understand and recognize your position in Christ. Seated. Take your seat. Take your seat. Take your seat. Don't let the enemy unnerve you. I got to hurry. I'm sorry. Let me just. Is this helping somebody? Not only has Satan blinded us from realizing the truth of what we are in Christ, but also how we get there. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I tell you, if there's anything that gets a person in the wrong seat, is when they're listening to the wrong counsel. Quit listening to your devilish friends. Quit listening to the world. Quit listening to what's on NBC and CNN and Fox News, and start listening to the counsel that never fails. Because the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. You want a report that's always current and that never fails? The weather report might be wrong, but whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, we got a lot of people that claim to be saved sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're not in the seat of blessing. You're not in the seat of God's joy and his grace, but you're in the seat of the scornful. That anytime someone starts getting blessed and someone starts making progress, you start mean mugging and giving somebody crazy eyes and start saying something and grumbling. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're going to get your behind out of that seat and get to the seat where God has placed you to be. The only reason why you're miserable, because you're in the wrong seat. That word scornful comes from the Hebrew word lutz, which means to talk arrogantly or derisively. In other words, it's the seat of the know-it-all. You ever met somebody that they know it all? They got it all figured out? Always giving you advice but never following their own counsel? Seem to always got an opinion and got their 2 cents that they got to add into your life when you're trying to do something, trying to live right for God? Sitting in a seat of presumption, sitting in a seat of pride and arrogance, a place where you think that you're better than someone else because of your background or your pedigree, as opposed to relying on the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his grace to justify you before God. Get out of that seat and start realizing that God has saved us from our sin, that we were all unworthy, that our sins were red as scarlet, that our sins were red like crimson, but now they're white as snow, that God justified me, that I could not save myself, that only by his mercy and his grace that I am standing here today. Praise God. I'm trying to hurry here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Mark 12:38 says this, Jesus talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. That anytime we try to obtain a seat of authority or power by our own human efforts and sense of righteousness, we sit in the satanic seat of the scornful. That you've been trying your best to get into that seat, to get into this place or whatever that you think you need. You've tried every method, you've tried every means, you've tried every device to do it, and it just does not work out. And all God is trying to say is just be still and know that I'm God, and just allow me to do it. That there was somebody sitting in his seat named Saul. There was someone sitting in the seat named Saul, and David didn't try and fight Saul on his own. He just let God take care of him. And that's what you got to do. And that can be frustrating at times, because you know Goliath got beat just in a few seconds. But it took 13-something years for Saul to get out of his seat. And sometimes it's going to take time. Sometimes you just have to keep and maintain your integrity before God. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. No, don't move from where you are. Wait till God says go. Don't try and push someone else out of your seat. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to realize your position that you have in Christ. When I was talking to that devil, all I did was just remind him of who I am. I just told him who I am. And then I reminded him of who he is. And then I reminded him of where he's going. That's my seat. That's God's seat. Don't let the devil talk you out of the blessings of God that he has for you. Trying to confuse you with all sorts of bizarre counsel. Don't let the devil trick you. Maintain your integrity before God. Stay in your seat and recognize where you're seated at. People, you know, they try and get worked up about titles. I'm apostle so-and-so, and I'm prophet so-and-so. And they always have all these amazing titles. We got, you know, commander. You know, we got archbishop this, and we got general this, whatever. I'm serious, in the church. People call themselves commander or the field general. Pastor's getting a picture and said there's this guy who is dressed. He comes on, I think, was it TBN? You know what I'm talking about? The guy, he had like an admiral uniform on. He's always standing in his admiral uniform like he's the commander of the hosts of heaven or something, you know. You know, these people all hung up on titles, and you know, I'm apostle this, and I'm prophet this, and I'm evangelist this, and I'm co-chancellor of the chicken fried committee, and you better recognize my position. We get all these crazy titles. But you know, the greatest title that you could ever be given is to be called a son of God. Jesus said that the servant doesn't abide in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. To be called a son of God is the highest thing you can ever be called. That's the highest rank you could ever be called, as a son of God, because that's all Jesus manifested himself as, was just the son of God. And the son of God beat everything and anyone that came his way. He beat sicknesses and diseases. He beat devils. He beat the Pharisees. He outwitted the most smartest doctors of the law. And he beat even death itself. And all he was just being was being a son of God. And that's what the devil's going to come and ask you, just like he did to Christ in Matthew chapter 4. He asked him, if thou be the son of God, turn these stones into bread. Or if you're the son of God, jump off of this cliff. Or if you're the son of God, bow down and worship me. And you need to remind him, I am a son of God. And I can prove that I'm a son of God by just staying where God put me. And just believing where God has put me. I'm going to close. I had a whole bunch of other stuff, but I think I've made my point. Let's stay seated for a minute. let's just stay seated. You know, we're always closed there when standing up, but that's kind of contradictory to what I'm saying, so I have y'all sit down. Maybe I should sit down. I've been standing up all this time. I can take my seat. Well, if I sit down, you guys can't see me, so I will take my seat. I'll just bring it over here. Take my seat. Y'all just stay seated. But I want you guys to recognize your position in God. I'm going to take you through an exercise just for a moment, and then we're going to start ministering and close. But I've been studying the gifts of the Spirit, as I was saying earlier. And listening to this particular speaker, he was talking about how to operate in the words of knowledge and so on. And he just said that really all he does is just do what I just said. He just realizes who God is. He just thinks about the goodness of God. And when he realizes that, it stirs the Holy Spirit within him. And it causes a flow just to come out. And as that flow comes, he just starts getting words of knowledge and the gifts begin to operate. Just thinking about who God is and his greatness. Just recognizing God. How wonderful is that scripture? To be still and know that I'm God. And that's just really been resonating in my heart lately. Just knowing that he's God. I mean, we don't need a fancy dissertation. We just need to recognize that he's God. And there's nothing greater or stronger than the God that we serve. Just recognize that just for a minute. Just close your eyes just for a minute. Close your eyes just for a minute. I want you just to picture. Picture heaven. Picture the streets of gold. Picture the walls of jasper, the pearly gates. Picture the thousands upon thousands of angels, of cherubim and seraphim, as they are crying out with all of their vigor and all of their passion, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Another seraphim flies by and he cries out with even more passion, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy is the faithful and true witness. Holy is the Amen. Holy is the captain of our salvation. Holy is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who has redeemed every tongue and kindred from their clutches of the enemy. Holy," think about the greatness of our God. Look at the stars. See the stars and the planets. See the atmosphere. See the meteors. See all the various celestial bodies and all of them as they begin to radiate and as they begin to shudder and tremble as the very fire and glory of God begins to stir in heaven. He is seated upon his throne, and he is above all. Everything is beneath his feet. He is above all. See the very power. Just recognize that he is God, and there is no weakness or lack in him. There is no shadow of turning in him, as I was praying earlier. Just recognize the greatness of God. He that formed the heavens and the earth by his intelligence and just by his words, just as sound left his lips, that matters and molecules began to form. How great and amazing and astounding is our God. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Right now, recognize him as God. See him as the King of Kings, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, the all-sufficient, altogether lovely, eternal, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth the eternal. Just recognize him as God. You can even feel it right now. It's bubbling inside of you, just knowing that he's God. Hallelujah. That is God. And no one can pluck you from his hand. That is God. And that no weapon formed against you will prosper. That is God. That every accusation is eradicated by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is God. That every sickness and disease was taken upon the lashes that were put into his back. That he's God. And there's no one like him. No one beside him. No one equal to him. Hallelujah. That's it. That he's God. See? I didn't do very much just to think that he's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I would fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now listen to this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God's seat that he's made for me to sit down is right at the table with the devil. And the devil wants to strangle me, but he can't touch me because my God is sitting next to me. Take your seat. Take your seat. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do this a little bit different. If you want prayer, I want you to come down and I want you to sit in this seat. And as you sit in this seat, you are sitting spiritually in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Maybe we can get some more chairs. If someone go grab a few more chairs. But we're going to sit down with Jesus today in the presence of our enemies. Right now in this city, there is all sorts of wickedness surrounding us. There is murder, there is mayhem, gang violence, sexual immorality, sickness and disease. We are surrounded by the very onslaught of Satan himself. But we're going to sit down at the table that Jesus has made. And we're not going to let it phase us. And instead of allowing it to phase us, we're going to affect it. Come on and take your seat. If you need healing, come and take the seat of healing right now. If you need a job, come and take a seat. God's got a position just for you. Most importantly, if you need to be born again, come and take a seat at the master's table. Come on, take a seat. Take a seat. Take your seat. God's got a place for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Sit down. Have a seat. Those of you that don't need prayer, I'd like you to join me in laying hands on these here, and we're going to help them take a seat. You know, when you go to a restaurant, they usually have a hostess or a host that comes, and they say, let me just show you where your seat is, where you can come and dine. Today, I'm deputizing you as waiters, and your tip today that you get is that you get the blessing of seeing someone else getting blessed. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yes. Come on, take your seat. Praise God. We out of chairs? All right. Here's what we're going to do. Anyone else that's not seated, I want you to, if you're a prayer warrior, I want you to come up here. Help me lay hands. We're going to start taking some authority over the enemy and taking our seat in Jesus. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You don't have to sit at the back of the bus anymore. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Take your seat. Some people are already getting, I don't even have to lay hands on them. Come on, right now. Take your seat in the name of Jesus. Recognize that he is God. No sickness or disease is above the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I command healing. I command to release the very power of God into your flesh. Yeah, be healed now. Be up there you go. Take your seat. Take your seat. It's yours. It's yours. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's your seat. The devil's been occupying your place too long. It's your seat. In the name.